Of course, I had no reason to doubt Bill's ability. He was a skillful driver. But it takes more than skill to drive a car safely.
This is fun! The FU Network! All right, hey, it's Ed the Sock here. I'm stuck in my car driving, and so I'm going to record some thoughts and musings. Yes, I know it's not supposed to be safe to talk while you're driving, but I'm not driving fast because traffic is barely freaking moving, and if you can't talk and drive at the same time safely, then you probably shouldn't be driving or talking individually, independently either. Anyway, so let's take a look at what's happened so far this week. It's Tuesday right now. Big news on Monday. Well, if you take the word big away from it, is that Elizabeth May is resigning as leader of the Green Party. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't know why anybody else would. This party has ceased to have a function. Now, I mean, it did once have a purpose. It did have an essential function to put the environment on the political map. But now the NDP and the Liberals, and probably under a new conservative leader that actually wants to win, the conservatives will also be talking about the environment as a priority next election. So why the hell do we need this Green Party little pimple sticking out on the political map? I think people have been very kind to Elizabeth May because she seems like a nice woman, kind of like a dotty old aunt. And so they haven't reported a lot of the kind of wacko crap that she believes sometimes or says. But there's no point. Who cares who the next leader of the Green Party is? They should just fold up their tent. Now, there's possibility that Jody Wilson-Raybould, ever the frickin' opportunist, will join the Green Party. Because as an independent, which she is, she'll be seated up in the Fortress of Solitude in the House with no allotted time to speak or ask questions in question period, no resources, nothing. She may as well be camping out on the lawn. Actually, she'd get more attention camping out on the lawn. Hey, that's exactly where she did get most of her attention, out on the lawn in front of Parliament. Speaking to microphones. So, hey, maybe she will join the Green Party to try to get some resources. But, you know, it won't be a good place for her because there's not enough people in the Green Party elected for her to climb on their backs to try to get attention politically. There's not enough backs to stab. So I don't know if it's not really sport for her. But yeah, who the hell needs the Green Party? I think it's time for it to go away. I suspect that Maxime Bernier's party was just that. Kind of like, not a political party, but more like the kind of party you throw with your friends. If your friends are, by and large, a bunch of bigots and xenophobes. He started the party because he lost the conservative leadership to Andrew Scheer, and he was pissed off. And so he started his own party to try to hurt Scheer. And stats show that he did hurt Scheer, but he didn't hurt him in votes. He hurt him because he hired that meltdown of a human being, Warren Kinsella, to try to do some kind of political sabotage. He didn't do it. The conservatives hired Kinsella to try to do some sabotage against Bernier, which is unbelievable. It's like using a nuclear warhead to kill a mosquito. But that came out the last weekend of the election and just helped to cement people's view of Scheer as untrustworthy and a liar, especially since every time he was asked a question about whether he hired this guy, all he did was repeat that exact same sentence. We do not comment on vendors we may or may not have hired to do jobs for us. Every question, the exact same answer, like the automaton that he is. I guess he just, it was default programming. They pushed that into his head with the remote control. that Harper and his group used to program what it is Scheer should say. So that actually did hurt Scheer, but Bernier didn't hurt Scheer the way he intended at the polls. He hurt him by just existing, and Andrew Scheer and Hamish Marshall giving in to their more negative base instincts, which is all they did through the entire campaign, and trying to dig up dirt on Bernier to make him not a factor. And he was never a factor. Man, is the Conservative Party run by dolts or what? Anyway, Liberal Party, last campaign, not run any better either. Also a doltish campaign. If you listen to, there's a, one of the FU Politics podcasts, a new show called Stephen and Stephen. They address this issue about whether this ugliness of this last election is an aberration or the new normal. Go look for it and listen to it. There's also, I think, No Bullpen that I hosted, where we talked about why every single one of the main party's campaigns was horrible. And we dissected why they were horrible. We didn't just do what people do on Twitter, which is say, bad take, dude. We actually provided emphasis and insight and evidence to back up our opinions, as opposed to bad take, dude. I'd like to punch those people in the head. Not that it would do any good, because I don't think the head is their head is the most sensitive part of their body. Anyway, so this is just me driving and talking about things that are on my mind, like the asshole who's riding my ass now in a van. It's like, dude, where do you think you're in a rush to go? There's traffic's not moving, and you're sitting there on my ass. I mean, I can move, I can change to another lane and make things easier for you, but since you're being an asshole, I am actually applying the brakes and going slower, because why the hell should I make your life easier when you're being a jackass? Oh, and by the way, while I'm driving, to all of you out there who buy very expensive cars and very expensive SUVs, not because you want to reward yourself for the hard work you've done and you're a car aficionado and this is something, a gift you've given yourself, which I guess is justifiable in many ways. But if you, for those of you who buy these cars because you want to impress other people that you're driving expensive cars, I just look at you and laugh at what a schmuck you are, because you think that I'm impressed that you're driving a car that costs way more money than a car ever really needs to. You're paying money to be judged by the logo on the back of your car. And I'm judging you, all right. I'm judging you as an asshole. And you wasted your money, because instead of impressing me, it's gone the other direction. Sure, there are probably some people who were impressed. I'm not one of them. Money doesn't impress me, because a lot of people make money because they were born into money. And it's easy to make money when you're born into money. Other people work very hard, make smart investments, work really hard in their business, grow their business. They make money. Those are people that I respect. But those don't tend to be the douchebags that I see when I'm driving. Another thing that occurs to me while I'm driving, and this is really a male thing, and I don't know why, just like baths are very much a female thing, and it is a female thing. I don't know why. Guys like showers, women like baths. I don't understand the purpose of baths. The purpose of going into the bathroom for a bathroom shower is to get clean. And what a bath does is fill the tub with water, and then you get in all covered in sweat and detritus from the day, and you baste in your own filth, in heat. You turn yourself into a tea bag of dirt and sweat. And that's supposed to be some kind of luxury. I don't get it. It is not a way to actually get clean. You're just turning yourself into a bouillabaisse of filth. I don't understand baths. Anyways, so another guy thing, driving. When guys drive and they pass another vehicle, for some reason, there. I don't understand the evolutionary trigger, but for some reason, we look at each other, both the person in the car being passed and the person driving the car doing the passing. I'm not exactly sure what that signal is supposed to mean. Is it a big dick contest and the guy looking is saying, ha ha, you lost? I'm not sure why I, as somebody who let somebody go past me, looks at the other guy. Mostly I look because I know he's going to be looking, and I also want to see what kind of asshole he is. Because if he's just passing me and he's not looking at me, and he's in a hurry, he's going to go somewhere and he's not looking at me, okay, people sometimes have emergencies, they have places they have to be, they're late, Lord knows I am half the time, that's fine. But I kind of look to see if the guy passing me is looking at me, just to see if he's looking, because then I can judge him as being some kind of ass. Does that make me an ass as well? I don't know, maybe. I think it just makes me more curious about human nature. But I never really understand the impulse. Is this like some form of, you want to go? You want a piece of me? Is this some kind of macho thing? I don't get it. I don't buy into the typical macho things, because macho is a male performance. It's not about being masculine. Masculine behavior is what somebody who is a male does, period. The idea of masculine and feminine behavior is got to go on the dumpster fire of history, because that's all freaking performance. So I don't go in for that. I'm just who I am. And I don't care if you think that my empathy for poor people or supporting women and all this other stuff, you think that that's not masculine? You think that being masculine is being the kind of person who never apologizes? You're an idiot, because actually it takes way more strength to make yourself vulnerable than it does to try to be invulnerable, because in trying to make yourself invulnerable indicates you're afraid that you can't handle being vulnerable. And being afraid means you're not the macho man you think you are. And caring about other human beings is a vulnerability, because it makes you concerned about other people. So some people think, oh, that makes you weak, girly man, libtard, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. It takes far more strength to say that you give a damn about other people than it does for you to be a douchebag on the internet. Somebody somewhere taught you the wrong idea of what it is to be a man, and I hope at some point in your life somebody knocks that shit out of your head. It's likely that it will happen, but there's always going to be some that it doesn't happen for. You know, my favorite superhero is Superman. People are like, oh no, Batman. Fuck Batman, okay? Batman's fine, but Superman is way better. First of all, because no, Batman is not more realistic as a superhero, because Superman, it's established, is an alien being. He gains his powers through being not from this planet. He is not a human being. Therefore, I can understand why he has superpowers and super abilities. Batman is just a guy with a lot of money who did a lot of training, okay? I don't understand alien physiology. Kryptonian physiology could be anything. So there's no way to judge that. But I can understand human physiology and the notion that a rich guy could simply duck out of wherever he is and put on a cape and fight people, get stabbed all the time, get shot, multiple concussions, bruises, all this stuff, that he could suffer all that bodily damage and still be effective and not a pill-popping opiate addict. Sorry, that's not realistic. I don't expect comics to be realistic. I don't want them to be realistic. I don't want comic book movies to be realistic. Because you know what's realistic? Real life. And I read comics and go to movies because I don't wish to actually be in real life at that moment. So Zack Snyder, you're still a hack. But the notion that Batman is more realistic of a superhero than Superman, no, not at all. Because the minute you have Superman, you have a world that accepts an alien being that knows there's life in the universe that's not just us. And so the whole world view is different. The whole environment, you've changed into a parallel universe where anything is possible. A guy in a bat suit, he would scare me for sure. I mean, he's supposed to scare criminals, but I wouldn't be scared that he was going to beat me up. I'd be scared of what the hell's wrong with this dude dressed like that. It'd be more a matter of this guy's got some kind of psychological problem, and that would scare me more than anything. There's a video online of a guy dressed in a gorilla suit, and he waits in a public bathroom by the urinals, and he jumps out at people and scares them, and the people run out. And, you know, I'd be scared too, not because I thought there was an actual gorilla in the urinal, but because I knew there was a human being who decided that he would spend his time dressing up as a gorilla and jumping out at people at the urinal. That is scarier to me than actually having an escaped gorilla there. So there's that. Now, most of these ideas, it seems like they've led one thing to another, but they are rather random thoughts. I accept that because this is the kind of things you think about when you're driving in Toronto. I live outside of Toronto. Don't try and find where I live because I have a moat and I have sentries and drones that are armed. But not that I'm not a friendly guy, just you have to go through a vetting process. But I don't live in Toronto, so I'm driving into Toronto, which is, if you like sitting in your car and not moving because there's constant construction and one-way streets that weren't one-way last time you were there, and diversions and pedestrians who have their face in their phone and aren't paying attention to the fact that they're walking on a street where there are cars, and if I hit them, even if it's my green light, I'm going to be held responsible instead of that idiot who should win a Darwin Award. So I'm headed, if you like that, then you'll love Toronto. If you like a city that smells of pollution and a melange of garbage disposals, garbage cans, public garbage cans that get emptied, I don't know, once every 10 years, if you like that, you'll love Toronto. But I'm not a big fan of the city of Toronto. I'm heading in for a meeting for FU Politics and for Fund the FU Network, which has grown exponentially. And yeah, you know what? I have to put out the damn tin cup. Every host does on our network at the end of our shows because, you know, we ask for help through support through patreon.com/FU Network TV or a one-time boost at PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. We do that because we don't have, like, people who are moderates or on the moderate left, we don't have the dark money that the right wing has. The U.S. has a funnel, basically a perverted version of the Underground Railroad that just shoves money from the United States, dark money, it's called, because it's not tracked, from rich U.S. corporations, including the U.S. hedge fund that owns Post Media, out free and clear. Everyone knows that Post Media owns National Post, all the Sun newspapers, and a bunch of others. We don't have that kind of funding. The liberal left can't agree on a single damn thing, okay? Conservatives circle their wagons and shoot outwards. Liberals circle their wagons and shoot inwards. Liberals always think that their issue is the most important issue of the time. And if you don't agree with them, then you fail the purity test. So it's a bunch of people pointing at each other saying, I'm more liberal than you are. I'm more progressive than you are. And that's why it's amazing they ever win anything. Because their organization is crap and they never band together. So there's lots of liberals with money, but what organization are they going to give it to? Most of these organizations are so racked with internal fighting. If these organizations exist, if it's not just two people in a shared workspace calling themselves an organization, neither one of them knows their ass from a hole in the ground. All they know is they care about people, which is creditable, but it'd be good if you were at least a bit effective. So we need, we don't have that kind of money. We don't have the millions, literally millions, maybe more, that the right wing has, that are trying to reshape Canadian politics, reshape our attitudes towards each other, towards immigrants, towards diversity, trying to make us hate each other because we have different opinions, which is stupid. I might not agree with you, but you're not my enemy. You're not a traitor. You're somebody who sees the world differently. And if everyone saw the world the same way, it would be a damn boring world. It would be like Canadian television before I came around. Actually, it'd be like Canadian television now that I'm not around on TV. But that's another story. So we have to ask you guys, I mean, FU Network, FU, of course, it stands for an attitude, FU. But it also stands for us, because when all the media mergers happened in Canada, it meant that they concentrated all their money on big expensive dramas they could sell internationally. So that tier of programming featuring personalities that felt like people you'd know, and that spoke to you like friends would speak to you, that whole tier is gone. Much Music was the perfect example of that. Didn't matter where you were in the country, or how you got to our country, or from where you got to our country, or what religion you practice or don't practice, everybody felt like they belonged when they watched Much Music. That level of media is gone in this country. There's no investment in it. And that's what we're trying to bring back with the FU Network. Why am I doing it? Because I went away for 10 years and no one else did it, okay? So if not me, nobody. All you're gonna get is Ben Mulrooney on your screen 24/7 with those giant frickin' teeth, though I'm pretty sure he's been cloned, because no human being can do as many shows in a day as Ben Mulrooney does at CTV and still be alive. So we need you guys to contribute. FU for us. That us includes you. FU for you. Okay? We're trying to build this level of, rebuild this level of relatable media that's unpredictable and that talks to you with respect instead of talking down to you. We talk with you, not at you. And we sound like you do because our conversations sound like your conversations or sound like the conversations you'd like to be a part of, but no, you can't, because somebody will stomp on you for expressing your opinion. I've always been Canada's inner voice out loud, and that's what this network is, writ large. A place for the rest of us. Not pundits, not the political classes, not the people you see on cable talk shows and news shows who get really, really excited about scandals and issues of political or procedural nature, which to the people on the ground, the workaday Joes and Janes, these kinds of topics don't excite them because they're trying to put fucking food on the table and a roof over their head and make sure their kids got the proper school clothes and equipment. They don't get excited by these lofty arguments that you see on cable news and that you see on the main network news. So we have a purpose. We exist for you. We are you. So in order for us to continue to exist, do me a favor. It starts at $1 a month, the subscription, at patreon.com/FU Network TV. Go there. For some reason, it's in US dollars. I'm sorry. We have argued with them and argued with them and argued with them, saying, why don't you have a Canadian dollar option? They don't. And you know what? They don't give a shit whether I'm happy with that or not. But go help us out. Donate once a month, $5 a month. Think about that coffee that you're paying for with that fake sounding, foreign, romantic sounding Spanish or Italian name that was made up in some marketing meeting in New York or Chicago. Take one less coffee a day and spend that $5 a month helping us build our network, because we got big plans. We want to have pop-up studios and permanent hangout facilities with cameras and microphones across the country. We want to really build this big. We want to build that tier of media. And it's not crazy. We can do it. But to do it, we all have to pull together, because I don't want to let these rich douchebag assholes in the US and in the big boardrooms in Canada tell us how to think, tell us how our thoughts should be shaped, how our dialogues should be shaped, how we should think about each other, how we should regard people with different opinions. I'm not willing to let them have control. So if you're not willing to let them have control, we have to take control. So support us, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV, or a one-time boost, because Patreon is a monthly thing. If you want to just do it once, that's fine too. Go to PayPal and send it to our email address, funetworktv@gmail.com. And that's it. I've been talking for a little while. I'm getting close to the place where I'm supposed to meet somebody really cool, actually, who I hope is going to, if I can convince him, host a new show on the FU Network, on FU Politics. And by the way, FU Politics is only a part of the FU Network. You'll start to see shortly FU Music and FU Geek, if that's what we're calling it. We're not sure yet. But you're going to see stuff about music. You're going to see interviews with musicians. You're going to see the return of fromage in various different forms. You're going to see honest interviews with artists like we used to have at Much Music, honest and fun, that made them look like human beings and not just, you know, marketing cardboard standouts like a lot of them are these days, Ariana Grande. There's more coming, including some shows I'm really excited about that are just for pure entertainment purposes, not politics at all, just for entertainment. That's all coming, but you got to support us. Okay, so that's it. I'll sign off now as I get off the Don Valley Parkway and head on to the Gardner Expressway, which may have been an expressway when it was first built, but now is largely, you drive for about 30, 40 seconds and it looks clear and you say, hey, I might actually be able to get through clearly this time. It'll be cool. And then you hit a log jam of traffic. There it is right ahead. And you just take the first exit you can and try to find your way around the city. Okay, so since I have to start concentrating, I'm going to bid farewell and adieu to all of you. If you like this show, if you can call this a show, if you like this presentation, content is the big word these days, content. So if you like this content, just let us know, make your comments known. And by the way, when you comment on Facebook, if you act like an asshole and I notice it, I'm going to delete your comments. Because there's enough places in the world for you to go and yell at each other and talk like assholes and insult people instead of talking about their ideas or criticizing their ideas or just going to try to own the libtards or shit like that or to show what a perfect, virtuous person you are. Lots of other places on the internet for that. I don't tolerate it in my comment section if I have time to read it and notice it. So if you're going to comment, something constructive. All right? Constructive or GTFO. And that's it. I'm Ed the Sock. And if there's shows that you'd like to see us do, shows you'd like to see us bring back that used to be on, because we're going to be moving to video as well as audio. If you'd like to see, we're going to be, you know, there's a version of Speaker's Corner that's in the planning stages. Even a version of Electric Circus, a very modern take on it, is in the planning stage. And I'm working on a secret project with two of your favorite former VJs for Much Music from the days when Much Music was good before they shit the bed. All right, I've said goodbye a number of times. This time I'm actually saying goodbye. You know what? If you, I'll use my old taglines. If you got nothing good to say, say it often. But more, I'd rather be a smartass than a dumbass. So I'm Ed the Sock, signing off, sitting behind this frickin' truck on the Gardner Expressway. Expressway, my cotton ass. This is fun. The FU Network.